Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm so glad you're here. I have a whole fabulous lineup today for us to listen to and chat with, and I'm just really excited about all my guests, as always. But the first guest we have on, it's two people, and so that's always really fun to have two people on the show. Have you heard about Zentangle drawings? They're a technique, a drawing style that's just been, you know, waving out there all over the place for a little while now, and I'm just really excited to have the founders of this technique here on the show to tell me, you know, how that happened and explain a little bit about it. So I'd like you to welcome Rick Roberts and Maria Thomas, who are going to get on here and tell me a little bit about Zentangles. Hi, Rick and Marie.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Pat. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. I'm so glad you could be here.
Thank you.
Thanks for asking us.
Oh, now, you know, I was out on your site, which is absolutely fabulous, Zentangle.com. I mean, you have so much information.
Well, we try to make our site so that we have enough out there so that people can understand what it is, read the feedback from other people, see what people all over the world are creating, and inspire them to get a sense of what this is all about and what it can do for people and what people can do with it.
Okay, now tell me how you developed this. I read a little bit about it in your, I think, an about page. But Maria, did you come up with this?
Well, actually, it was sort of an accidental inspiration type deal. I was working in my studio one day, and I was working on an illuminated manuscript. And
okay.
If people don't know what that is, it's a big, big single letter, and it's usually painted in gold leaf.
Ooh.
And then there's all these patterns behind it, and you'll see it in like the Book of Kells or in the old Bibles and things like that. And I was working on a commission for somebody, and I was really involved in the patterns in the background of the letter. And Rick barges into the studio and, babe, what's for lunch, or something like that. And I came out of this
stuff.
Oh yeah, I came out of this intense place, and I said, oh my God, I don't know where I was, but it was wonderful. It was this, it was that. And I was going on, and he says, Well,
I said, you're like describing meditation. And I had spent like 17 years, you know, living and practicing this stuff and going to India. And
he was a monk. He's not saying that. He's kind of stepping around.
I lived like that.
Yeah.
And so she's describing this, and she's never done anything like that, or doesn't understand any had no context for that, but she's describing exactly what people, you know, search for, and that sense of, you know, no worries, didn't know where she was, just this relaxed focus in this enjoyable activity. And we started to say, well, what were you doing that was, you know, might have triggered this? And we discovered it was because she was working in an area that was already defined. She was doing a simple pattern that was repetitive. So she wasn't worrying about, am I spelling it correctly? Am I on the baseline or not? And she was just lost in this pattern. And we thought, well, how can we make this for people to enjoy and enjoy that same sense of relaxed focus and creativity without having to spend, you know, decades learning letter forms or some other highly technical skill set? And one thing led to another. So, of course, we took a weekend off at some bed and breakfast, so we wouldn't have to.
Any excuse to go off?
Vacation.
You know, just to not. You know, it's the dust. It's not your dust. The phone calls they aren't for you, and you think new thoughts. And we just, it was like we were taking dictation the whole time. You know, whoever wasn't driving was taking notes, and
we designed the entire thing in this weekend. It happened so fast and so furious, and it was such explicit It, intensity.
I mean, we came up with the vocabulary, and we tried to make a vocabulary that didn't have reference to anything else. So most of our, one of the neat things about this drawing form is that it's not representational, and you intentionally don't know what it's going to look like when you start. So you're really freed from any sort of expectation of success or failure, and you can just sort of let yourself go. And so we chose words that didn't have another reference point. So people...
That's interesting.
Yeah, you know, so like instead of calling something checkerboard, we called it Knightsbridge because, well, what's a Knightsbridge look like? You know, so...
If we said checkerboard, people would use straight lines. Well, we encourage people to use curvy lines. So in not using the word checkerboard, we allowed people to have it not look like a square checkerboard.
Ah, that's
so
very smart.
So we tried to do that most often so that people wouldn't ever think of what they've done as a failure. So because all, you know, what is Knightsbridge? Well, Knightsbridge is this. It can be this. It can be that. It doesn't matter.
It's whatever you make it. And we set up this interesting mix of structure and freedom. And now, they interplay really well.
Now tell people... you know, that have never seen this or done it before, you know, because we're on the radio, so they can't, or they don't have the picture in front of them, although they can go to your website then. But it's a series of shapes that you're coloring them and not coloring them.
No, it's patterns. The whole focus is on repeating patterns, very simple lines and circles I say simple, yet they look very complicated to anybody looking at them for the first time. And we break them down into a series of steps that is, you know, able to be done by just about anybody.
We call it deconstructing. So we will go and find patterns. And all of these patterns aren't new. It's like it's this fundamental language of humanity in a way. And what we do is deconstruct it in a way so that people can easily, reconstitute it into art that flows out of their hand just naturally. And some of these just have one stroke or two strokes just done in a particular sequence. Mm-hmm. And it's so simple and so complicated looking when it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, we have these... always this sort of same experience. We'll go into a situation or a class. We did this high school in Providence and said, okay, well, this is what we're going to teach you. And everybody looks at it and says, no way we can do that. And then in a half hour, they've all done it. And then we ask them, well, what else do you know that you can't do? And it's this really great aha moment.
I wanted to go back about the patterns. Some of the patterns, it's obvious that they're classic patterns from all over the world and from all times, like something like
Maori tattooing
or something like that. There are quilting patterns, things like that. But there's also ones that we've made up ourselves that are really cool as well. So, you know, the combination of the two of those, so that a lot of them are things that people can recognize, and then we throw in these other ones that, like, wow, what is that? How is that done? And they're all fairly simple.
It's sort of like a magic trick. You know, I think, like, if you put yourself back in, like, third or fourth grade, I remember, like, somebody showed me a magic trick, and I just wanted to show my friends, my grandparents.
Right.
And it's, you feel that way when you make these patterns, and it's so simple, and then it looks so elegant. If you, there's a lot of free stuff. We mentioned the free stuff on the web. If you go to, on the web, and in our blog, we have like our YouTube channel, and we've got we've got two videos up, okay?
For
us that we've done, I mean, there's thousands of other people who have done them, but those two give a really good sense of, you know, our style and how we do it and the real simplicity. One of them, they're both one stroke each, and it's really magical to watch.
They are good. I've watched them. They're very good.
Did. But one of the things that we've noticed, and it was a surprise to us, and it really ties in with your show, is the enthusiastic embrace of this technique in the quilting community. And it happens in two ways. One is it just primes the pump of creativity, because no matter what your form or medium is, you hit these spells where you're like, oh, what am I going to do now? And this just like
start.
It totally primes the pump, totally jump starts you. And then so many of our patterns like, for instance, Mukha, which is one of the videos, is a continuous line stroke. So the long arm quilting community, they can just rock and roll with these patterns in ways that they may not have anticipated doing before.
Now, when somebody wants to get started, is there enough on your blog to sort of get them going? And do you you have, I know, kits and supplies and things there as well?
Yes and no. Yes, there is. And it's really easy to see it and say, oh, well, I know what that is, because it's on its surface. It looks so subtle, like, duh, simple, like, who are these people to just go and think they invented doodling or something, you know? And, but we have what we call certified Zentangle teachers, CZTs, mm-hmm. because there are so many subtleties, and there are so many, people get a lot of enjoyment out of doing it at whatever level they do it. But right. if you buy the kit, watch the DVD, and even more importantly, if you get a chance to take a class with a CZT, a Certified Zentangle Teacher, and they're all listed on the website, that you can immediately tell, and people will write us and they'll say, oh, I thought I understood what this was about, but now I really get what's so special about this.
Because there's so much more to it than just right. making the patterns. There's the reason why the patterns are, the reason why we do it on a 3.5-inch square, the reason why you do it just in black and white and pencil. Mm-hmm. There's all of these important foundational things that we talked about in the beginning. And if they don't get that, they miss the really good, wonderful stuff, yeah.
And you can get something out of it, and it's not a secret, but what you see seems so obvious that you miss some of the magic behind it if somebody doesn't describe it to you.
I think it's just fabulous. I really hope I can come take a workshop with you guys sometime.
No, sounds great.
Oh, we'd love to have you.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I want to tell people, too, that you have a Flickr folders of a lot of, you know, people have shared their work, and uh-huh. they can get to all of that from your website, zentangle.com, and then your blog is off of there. So, you know, Rick and Maria, this has been just fabulous.
Well, I'm so glad we had this chance to meet you, and looking forward to meeting you face-to-face sometime.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. I'd like all of you to hang on here. We're going to come back and few minutes. We're going to take a little break, and you must go out and check out the Zentangle website. This is your host, Pat Sloan from American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. We'll be right back.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Beautiful computerized quilting is simple with the HQ Pro Stitcher. Every design becomes a perfect fit for your quilt with the HQ Pro Stitcher. You can resize, repeat, rotate, and crop right on the new 10-inch color touchscreen. No computer needed. The HQ Pro Stitcher works with all HQ Stitch regulated machines and has a quick setup that allows you to get quilting in no time.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Make your projects so much easier with great products from Sewline. Sewline offers a variety of innovative quality marking tools for quilters and sewers. The Sewline Trio is a 3-in-1 fabric marking tool that allows you to quickly change from black ceramic to white lead to a blank stylus with just one click. Both leads are water-soluble and designed to provide a crisp, clean line that's easy to erase. To purchase Sewline products, visit your local quilt shop.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com. Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. I have a designer on now that a lot of you are familiar with, that you've follow her work and you make her patterns. Carrie Carr of New Leaf Stitches is here, and we're going to chat about like a whole lot of different quilting things. Carrie and I met while we were both doing a blog hop, you know, because that's, you know, really so much fun and you get to make new friends. And it was actually one where we were talking about a bunch of designers and we were doing Christmas, you know, with our Christmas. Everybody had a theme. It was a lot of fun. We got to know each other really well, the whole group of us. So, Carrie, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me. That blog hop was really fun and quite interesting to learn everything about each of us and, you know, all our holiday traditions and old pictures and all those fun things that we probably didn't have a chance to learn any other way.
I know. I just thought it was so much fun because I actually had to call my dad and go and get slides out of his closet.
You had great pictures.
That was really hard. I mean, I'd never gone back and looked through old pictures, and I could remember just reminiscing. Wasn't that the best part?
You know, it was, and I thought one of the most fun parts was learning how each of us even enjoyed crafting and designing and creativity even as small children, and we kind of carry that through into our adult lives and what we're doing as careers now.
Yeah, that's true, and a lot of us didn't start this way, including you, as this nice little segue. You had a whole nother job that wasn't as a designer, but you were crafty in a lot of ways. What did you do for a living before you were a quilter?
Before I started New Leaf Stitches, I was a family and consumer science teacher, which back in the day was also known as home ec.
Home
and my tagline for my business is fresh ideas from a recycled home ec teacher.
Oh, I love that.
So, yeah, and, you know, it was great fun. It was actually where I picked up my interest. It came from one of my best friends who was also a teacher in a department. She was a very avid, excellent quilter, and I loved hearing the stories about each of the blocks and the different quilts that she would bring in. And I have been sewing for years and years and years, but not a quilter. And so she's the one that really jump-started my interest in the quilting world.
So when you taught home, we'll call it home ec because that's like quicker to say, were they doing sewing at the time that you were teaching? Because I understand, I don't have children, but so I understand that it sort of comes in and out of that program.
Well, we were really fortunate in our school district. They were very supportive of our department. Of course, there are other aspects of home ec other than the sewing, but they always have had it in the middle school. And then we found a resurgence a little bit later when shows like Project Runway came about.
Oh, yeah.
And then kids started, you know, getting interested in that. But, you know, there were quilts that were made for community projects and, you know, that kind of thing along the way.
Now, you said you'd sewed for a long time. So where did you actually learn? From your mom or?
It was for my mom, and it's kind of a funny story because she also was a home ec major. I had been sewing for a long time, and when I went out to college, I was thinking I was going to be a pharmacist. Oh. And she kept telling me, you know, you should go into home ec. You like all those areas. And I'm like, one home ec teacher in this family is enough because you had to sew a certain way and set the table a certain way. And so she had a real kick when I got a real kick out of it when I called home and told her I was changing my major back to home ec. So moms know best.
I learned to sew in home ec.
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, my mom is not big on making things. That's not like her love of life. You know, she does other stuff. She doesn't make stuff. And so I used to teach myself all kinds of different things, but I hadn't learned to sew until I hit home ec class. And I actually have people that I still communicate with that I went to school with in a small school, and I think I'm the only girl in that class who enjoyed home ec.
Oh, no.
I know. The others are like, and they don't make things now. One of them does, but the rest of them, that isn't their, that's not what they like to do.
Oh.
But now, what did you teach boys and girls to sew when you were teaching?
Well, yes, it was in the middle school because it was part of a required part of the course. There were boys and girls, which made it really interesting.
Yeah.
I could probably spend the whole time telling stories on different things that happened in there. But once we got to the high school, it was an elective. And
okay.
So it was mainly girls, but there were a few boys. But the nice part about that, when it was an elective, they wanted to be there.
Right, right.
So it was fun to do. And, you know, anytime you can do the hands-on type classes, it was fun.
Yeah, my one brother-in-law, it was required. It was some sort of life skill class at
mm-hmm.
the time. And
mm-hmm.
so he made aprons and stuff. And he's not afraid to, you know, do anything. And he's a maker of stuff. And he enjoyed it, you know. And his mom sews. My mother-in-law sews. So for him, it wasn't any big deal. But he was the only one of the three boys, the youngest, that was required to take it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting to see the project that the boys choose to make versus mm-hmm. what the girls choose to make when they're sitting at a sewing machine. But it was fun. It was fun. I have to say that I get my teaching fix now, being in the quilting world. Love to teach, love to travel to teach. And, again, you're teaching the people that really want to be there and enjoy what they're doing. So it's great. Love that part of it.
Yeah, I'm not a teaching background, but I taught in the corporate world, and it's
mm-hmm.
such a, I know the same feeling. In the corporate world, you know, they're required to come to whatever I was teaching them. And, you know, here they're coming because it's their hobby, it's fun, you know, people want to be in class.
Right.
It's a good thing. So
wonderful.
Yeah, it's wonderful. So let's go back a little bit again and tell me about how you started New Leaf. You know, why did you sort of, you know, go towards making this your business?
I started the business with my friend who was the teacher. And it was that creative outlet, and it got to the beach to the point. I have two boys, and they were going off to college, and both involved in sports. They're two sport athletes in college, and it was too hard to get away to the games, and it was just killing me not to be able to go. And I needed to find some kind of a career that would be fulfilling and worthwhile, so I could be my own boss and come and go as I wanted. And so that's was kind of the impetus to get me going. We went to market a couple times and walked the floor and mm-hmm. came back home and said, you know what, we think we can do this. And, you know, sometimes being naive is good. but we kind of jumped in with both feet, and she has gone back into the administrative part of our school district, and so I've mm-hmm. taken the business off on my own and haven't looked back since.
Well, I just think it's awesome and wonderful. You know, I just love that, you know, that so many of us have done something else first and then came mm-hmm. to quilting as sort of our second careers.
Right. Right.
It's a big trend. I mean, or not a trend, but just a theme, I think, running through designers because we love to make stuff.
Yes. Yeah.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about what your style, you know, what attracts you, what's your quilt style for people who maybe aren't real familiar with your work yet?
Well, one thing I've learned in being in business is the kind of quilts that I would prefer to make for myself versus mm-hmm. learning the type of quilt patterns that sell sometimes are different.
Mm-hmm,
and where my actual patterns lie, I would say, are on the traditional patchwork side of things, but mm-hmm. I also like to include kind of some contemporary elements or updated things. Enjoy some applique, whether it's, you know, just the cotton applique or the wool applique, using biases to create dimensions, those kinds of things. So I would say traditional with a little contemporary twist to them.
Yeah, I like one of your patterns that's out right now with the reindeer on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's so cute.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Scandia Steg, I wanted just to do for my own holiday table, and it was one of those that, oh, darn, it was so cute. I thought maybe I should put that one out in a pattern.
Well, I think that's what happens. You know, when we design, we often are designing, you know, we like what we're making. We're making it not just for our business, but because it speaks to us. You know, we want to have it.
So, those are the best ones anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they are. And this is a table runner that you put on toweling. That is amazing.
Yeah, it comes on a roll, and it's like 16 inches wide, and it's the Scandi Estate, what we're talking about, is red with some white,
reindeer.
Yeah, it's got white wool reindeer and snowflakes appliqued and embroidery on it. It has I think it's one of those things you could use out or use all winter long. It doesn't have to be just at Christmas, but it's bright and crisp looking. And
Is the toweling easy to find?
Well, it was. I have been having some questions lately from people on where to find it. I have found it online by Googling red. It's actually a Moda product, red Moda toweling.
Okay. So, but could people use like a tea towel? They'd probably have to sew them together though, because it's a long runner.
I think what would be better would just to be using cotton and piece maybe some borders into it if you wanted, and you could make it as long as you wanted or a different color, you know, that kind of thing. Be real easy just to make a 16-inch wide, you know, or you just use whole cloth.
Right. Oh, and so this and the wool, did you do the wool by hand on this particular one or by machine?
Well, I fused it, and then I did it by hand because it's kind of delicate work, and I didn't want the machine to kind of eat it up. So I did do it by hand. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, the little antlers and stuff are really curly and little dots and things. Just so adorable. You know, I want to talk about your book, but I don't want to start that before the break because, you know, we don't really have too much longer to the break. So tell me just real quickly, you know, when you go fabric shopping, what is it that you're looking for, like the next time you go out in 30 seconds?
Well, the main thing that I am always drawn to is color and depth of color. I like texture in my fabrics. Whether it's in the print or actually the hand of it. People probably don't like to shop with me because I'm slow and tedious and it takes me a long time. But I just, you know, it's like most of us, we go into a quilt shop and just kind of take a deep breath and enjoy it.
Just enjoy it. Exactly. Well, we're going to take a break, Carrie, and then we'll be back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio with Carrie Carr of New Leaf Stitches right after the break. So we're going to talk about her new book. Be right back.
From American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Hi, Carol.
Hi, Pam.
What have you been quilting lately?
I just finished a Lone Star quilt for my niece's wedding.
Oh, I can't wait to see the finished quilt.
Me too. I have so many finished tops that I'm really considering looking into a long arm of my own. Don't you have a handy quilter? I've heard good things about them.
I do, and I love my HQ18 Avante. No more UFOs at my house. I have so much space to work with, and it's so fast. The stitch regulator gives me perfect stitches every time, and the precision glide track systems makes quilting so smooth I could quilt all day.
I would love that. I've been looking at the HQ24 Fusion.
Oh, I think that would be perfect for you. It's got all the great HQ features of the Avante with more throat space. You'll love working with Handy Quilter. Their customer service is top-notch.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter, for quilters.
Moda Fabrics brings you the hottest new fabric lines for quilting. We work with more than 40 of your favorite independent designers, as well as in-house design staff to make sure you have the latest and greatest in fabrics. We're committed to creating high-quality products and providing excellent customer service. And for 35 years, Moda Fabrics has proudly supported the independent quilt shop. Visit your local independent quilt shop to see what's new from Moda Fabrics.
Thank you. Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Carrie Carr is here. So, Carrie, tell me about your ruler, you know, the angle thing that you have. Because sure. That is really, you know, why did you develop it? What does it do? You know, all the good stuff.
Well, it's called Clearly Perfect Angles, and it is a notion that stays in place on your sewing surface with static. So you're never taping anything down. There's no gummy mess left on your machine. And because it's static, the edges stay down without catching your fabric. Easy to maneuver with. You customize it to your machine. And the purpose of it is for sewing 45-degree angles. I was at a retreat, and I had all these half square triangles to sew. And you know how it is when you get to, or you get time to sew. That's what you want to do. You don't want to be drawing lines or ripping paper away. And I was doing all these different things on my sewing machine bed, trying to figure out a way around drawing those lines. And I looked down, and on my sewing table was a static cling ruler.
Oh, okay.
And that's when the light bulb went on. It was like, you know what? You can use a template there to help you sew your 45-degree angles without it getting in the way of anything. And so that's where the idea came from. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's for sewing 45-degree angles. There's three different techniques, basic techniques that you can use with the tech or with the cling. Mm-hmm. And I've color-coded it for helping you align your material when you're doing different techniques, so you don't get mixed up on where you need to have your points and where your needle is supposed to be and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Had wonderful feedback. It's been out for a couple of years now, and anybody who uses it just loves it. And when it gets demoed in stores, it mm-hmm. sells like crazy because they, you know, people see how functional it really is and what a time saver it is.
Yeah, the functionality is just awesome. And you have mm-hmm. a video on your website, so they can go there.
I do. I have several videos. The one that's been visited the most is just the overview. Mm-hmm. But there's also several videos online telling how to align it on your machine, which is also really, really easy, and also how to use each of the techniques. So you can get as detailed as you want, or you can just watch the overview.
Well, see, there you go. It's something for everybody from
a home ec
teacher. That's right.
That's right.
So tell me about your book, because I did the blog hop for your book, and it just had rave reviews because, you know, a lot of people are nervous about mitering borders. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's just mm-hmm. they get like, you know, the hives thinking about that they have to do this.
So well, first of all, Pat, thank you for taking part in that book blog hop. It was very nice of you to take your time to do that. The book is called Just Around the Corner, Quilts with Easy Mitered Borders, and it uses a technique where mitered corners turn out perfect every time. And one of the nice things, and you were laughing about this when I told you, there's no math involved.
I know.
There is no math involved, and it turns out perfect. Basically, what you're doing is creating a frame, mm-hmm. And the technique used in creating that frame is what creates the miter. Mm-hmm. And another kind of twist with this technique is we use bias strips for the frame pieces. So then when you lay your frame on your quilt, you tack in between on the frame and you turn it back and you get these cute little scallops because of the stretch of the bias. Mm-hmm. So it's very unique. It's different. Like you said, I've had really fun and great reviews on the book because there's 9 projects in the book. They're all different. You know, there's projects from a tote bag to a Christmas tree skirt to table toppers, pillow, those kinds of things. So I think there's something for everybody in there as far as projects go.
Yeah, I think that's the best part is that, you know, if you want to try it first on something small, mm-hmm. you provided smaller projects so people mm-hmm. don't have to go and make a big quilt
right.
in order to try the technique out.
Right. And the book also highlights not only the basic technique, but little twists on the technique. Mm-hmm. So once you see what those are, you can apply that to any tech or any other project that you want by just adding a border, changing a color, sewing two pieces of bias together. So it's just lots of different combinations and fun things that you can do with the technique. And it's perfect every time. It really is.
I know. I love that part. Yeah. You know, I actually, one time I taught Carrie at a guild and, you know, we were in class and we had some sort of, I don't know how we got talking about borders or working with borders, but these people all did mitered borders. It was like this whole group of people that weren't afraid of miters and mm-hmm. were putting them on everything. And I'm like, what is in the water here? Because it's really not that common. People do that, but you know, there's a large, large group who just haven't tried or maybe tried once. And
right. Yep. And, you know, when you're demoing, you get that. Sometimes people are like, oh, I don't like it. And, you know, sometimes it's kind of hard to convince them just to watch. And then there's that aha moment when they go, oh, look what she just did. It was just amazing that it turned out, you know, just with some folds and how you stitch it together.
Now, you teach, you go on the road and teach, you know, you love to teach, as you mentioned earlier. What, you know, what kind of workshops do you offer?
Well, if anybody's interested, I have the information on my website, but of course, I would just as soon teach the different classes. I have a mystery class, I have different angle classes, I also have beginner classes. I figure who else better to learn to sew and quilt from than a home ec teacher. But I also do a couple lectures, enjoy doing trunk shows at guilds and that kind of a thing.
Ah, very good. And you can find all that at Carrie's website, newleafstitches.com. And she has a little thing that you can pop up and see all the workshops. And
they can just get a hold of me, too, if they're interested. And I'm actually coming your way next spring.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Where are you going?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Oh, okay. You can write me. You can email me later. No pressure. Okay, let me ask you a different question. This is an easier one because you know I'm going to ask you.
Okay.
So we, you know, I love to find out, you know, when I interview people a lot in print, I will ask them, you know, who would they like to study with? And I had asked you this during the blog hop. And I just thought that your answer was awesome. It would be fun to have on the show today for you to tell us about the person that you think would be a great person to study with. And they don't have to be, you know, alive. They can be, you know, celebrity or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you asked me that, it took me a while to come up with an answer, but I'm kind of, I guess, a simple country girl kind of person, and I had heard about a lady from Nebraska called Grace Snyder, who was born in the late 1800s, and just her history and the knowledge that she had about quilting. And you know, I certainly am not an expert on her life or her quilts,
right.
When your question was, who would you like to just sit with and visit with and learn from, I just think about these women who sat around in a group of other women for support, and they created these beautiful, beautiful quilts from scraps. They didn't have rotary cutters. They didn't have, you know, computer programs to help them design quilts. And just the camaraderie and the beauty and the functionality, again, of what they created. And I just thought she just seemed like a really fascinating lady.
Well, I also feel like I would love to go back. And you know, I never really stitched with people who quilted, you know, a long time ago. I mean, even like in my guild and stuff, you know, most people have started, you know, not that recently, but, you know, not really like that history, that handwork and the old, you know, the older way of doing it or the way they did it a while back. I just think it would be great to transport back in time. We need the time machine.
I do too. It just fascinates me what they were able to create. And
now you actually got to go hang out with some design friends. yes, how fun is that? So tell me, what did you guys do in your little retreat?
Well, Pat, I think you thought I was teasing you when I said, you know, you hop on a plane, we would pick you up.
I know.
Yeah, there were a few of us that got together last week at a retreat house, and it started a few years ago. There's a lot of Minnesota designers, and we just did a little retreat on our own where we could visit about what we wanted to visit with and stay in our pajamas if we wanted to and, you know, not have to be on like we were teaching or at a class or something like that. So it was 3 days of just being who we wanted. Some of us worked on new projects for, you know, market or books. Some of us worked on personal things, baby quilts, pot holders. I mean, we did the whole gamut, just like any retreat would be. But it was very fun, very relaxing. A lot of wisdom in the room that I think we all took, you know, away. Good information and good contacts and the networking and that type of thing.
That is really cool that in your area, all the designers or a lot of the designers know each other and do things together.
We do.
It's a unique, you know, to your area because so many of you live close enough to do that.
Yeah. And every once in a while we do, you know, just get together too and pick each other's brains on what we think is going well and, you know, maybe gripe a little bit about some things.
Well, it's good to have that sort of free zone.
You can bounce things off of other people. And that is so unique to the quilting industry, I think, the camaraderie that you build.
I think so. I've worked in the non-quilt industry, and it's different. It's wonderful. Now, you also have a new hobby.
She's not so new anymore, but one of your questions was, do we have a hobby? And we are new grandparents to a girl. Her name is Kendall Grace, and love her to death. And grandma's loving it because I only had boys of my own. Yes. So now with this little girl, I am loving it.
Were you making the baby quilt at the retreat? Was that you?
No, that wasn't me. It wasn't me. But yeah, she's kind of our hobby now. It's we've gotten into Skype, and we were Skyping last night, and my husband and I were kind of jumping around in front of the computer, and my son said, "I hope the neighbors aren't watching what you guys are doing in the window." But yeah.
Well, are you buying more pink fabric now?
Oh yeah. Pink and soft and cuddly.
How fun is that?
Yeah.
How fun is that?
Yeah.
I was the first grandbaby to one of my grandmothers had just boys, so my dad and his brother. So I'm sure I had lots of pink dresses.
Yeah.
Well, Carrie, this has just been so much fun for people to get to know you and for me to be able to hang out with you here on the show and catch up. Thank you for being here.
Well, I so appreciate being asked, Pat. It was fun.
So everybody has to go out and visit Carrie at newleafstitches.com. And she has a blog. So, Carrie, if you're still there, I think you are. So you blog, not every day, but you blog often about what you're doing. So they can get your blog from your website, right?
Correct. There's a link right from there.
Okay, good. Thanks, Carrie. We'll be right back with Sarah Filke from Australia on Skype.
Win free stuff. Find out about our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Come see what's cooking at the Moda Bake Shop website. You'll find free recipes for using the wide range of Moda pre-cuts from your favorite designers and quilt shops. We've got ideas for using a variety of ingredients, including honey buns, jelly rolls, layer cakes, charm packs, and more. Instructions with detailed step-by-step photos guide you through the recipes and the fun. New projects served up daily at modabakeshop.com.
Do you love free motion quilting but struggle to fit your project in a small throat space? The HQ Suite 16 is designed for you. With 16 inches of throat space, there is room to work on even a king-size quilt. The smooth surface of our height-adjustable table allows your project to glide under the needle with ease. The HQ Suite 16 is built with powerful HQ technology designed to handle all your quilting projects.
Visit HandyQuilter.com to request a free demo DVD or find an HQ rep in your area. Handy Quilter, designed by a quilter for quilters.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, executive editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Welcome back. I am really excited that Skype exists because by the magic of Skype, I'm able to talk to Sarah Filkey from Australia. And Sarah is a designer. She's an author, pattern designer, fabric designer. And so we're going to talk about her new book because, you know, this is really an exciting book. And I'm so glad to have her on here. So hi, Sarah.
Hi, Pat.
So your new book is called Quilting Little Things.
Quilting from Little Things, that's right.
From Little Things. Ah, sorry, forgot the... That's okay. Now, why did you title it that? What was sort of your thought behind that?
The idea behind the book is that there are 10 pairs of quilts, and one of the quilts is a very small quilt. It's a little dolly quilt. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that you can try out a new technique by making the small quilt, and then when you're comfortable with that, then you can go ahead and make the big one.
Ah, well, then that makes total sense to...
They're like little classes. So rather than having to start a huge quilt and then think, oh, I don't know how to do this, you can just try it out on a little one. So that's why it's called From Little Things.
Ah, well, you know, there's a couple of different things that you do that, you know, I want to talk about in this segment. One, I do want to talk about your fabric because, you know, you've done a couple of lines now and they're just so... fun and fresh. And, you know, tell me a little bit about the fabric designing and your fabric, your current fabric line, St. Ives.
Well, when I first started designing fabric, I really had no idea what I was doing. And all I knew was that, you know, I really like spots and stripes and fresh, fun things. And, you know, I don't use a computer to design or anything like that. So when I started designing with Lisi, and they were just so wonderful to me and very patient with my process. So really a lot of my fabric design just comes from doodles. I draw a lot anyway because I love to do applique and stuff. So I have books and books full of, you know, drawings and squiggles and what have you. So I just play with different designs until I'm happy with something I like, and then I do the repeats by hand, and I hand paint them, and then Lisa digitizes it for me.
Yeah. So how did you come up with the name St. Ives? What does that mean to you?
St. Ives is the suburb in Sydney where I grew up.
Okay.
So the idea behind this fabric range is that it's little memories from my childhood. So I'm a child of the 80s, so the fabrics are are a little bit 1980s, not 280s. There's no fluoro. But there's some really fun 80s color combinations like pink and gray and purple and teal and stuff like that. And the designs come from things I remember from my childhood, like the stripes are called leg warmers and the spots are called gobstoppers and...
what's a gobstopper for those of us?
It's like I don't know what you call them in the States. It's like a huge big candy ball that you put in your mouth and you suck, and it changes colors when you suck the legs off.
Jawbreakers.
A jawbreaker, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Australia and England, that's a gobstopper.
Yeah. Ah, see, we learned something new.
There you go.
I'm now I'm bilingual, so I'm
That's right.
I can go forward in life. Now, in your book, you used, it's not just this fabric line. You have all different types of fabric because you have, you know, just an amazing color sense.
Oh, thanks very much, Pat. I don't work in ranges ever, and I find it quite difficult to make the sample quilts when I've made my I've done my fabric, because I throw everything in. It's like making a salad when I quilt. Yeah. And I really just love to include all different kinds of graphics and different sizes of prints and different colors, and I think that's what gives my quilts their energy.
Mm-hmm. And that's what you're talking about in your new book, Quilting from Little Things, is talking about how to make that style, aren't you?
Yeah,
you know, trying to encourage people.
Yeah, and I mean, I think all three of my books, the Material Obsession books as well, really are about finding your own style of quilting. There's patterns for all the quilts, obviously, but I've always really encouraged people to take my idea and go somewhere else with it. And I think that's what's fun about quilting is finding what you like and changing things up a little bit to make your own design.
Now, one of the things that you do personally, the way you quilt, that I find fascinating and I think a lot of people would be very interested to know, is how you do you hand quilt all your quilts, and you hand quilt them with a heavier thread.
Yes, that's right. I like using a perlite cotton.
Yeah, that's heavy.
It's quite heavy, yeah.
Yeah.
But I find it gives you a really decorative stitch.
It's gorgeous.
Thank you. Thank you very much. There are instructions in the book on how I do it, but I use a hoop always.
Oh, you do? Okay. Is it tight when you have it in there? Is it really tight, or is it sort of give a little
tight.
Give?
Yeah, it's quite tight, but it's not so tight that you can't, you know, move the quilt up a little, up and down a little bit. Mm-hmm. I use a thimble, and I always quilt towards me, which is more of a neck, sore neck issue than anything else. You avoid having, you know, back and neck problems if you quilt towards you. I'm a bit of a passionate quilting teacher, so I tell things like that.
Well, that's good to know, because a lot of us don't hand quilt much anymore.
Yeah, no, well, that's right. And it's I always joke with my classes that I'm converting the world one hand quilter at a time. I really feel like, if you're going to make quilts, you should at least give it a go once.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a such a product of the times we live in that we just finish top and hand it off to somebody else to do. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, you know, just sit down and actually take that time and put so much of yourself into the quilt when you hand quilt it. It's worth just, you know, trying it once and seeing what you think.
Well, and the quilts have a totally different feel to them when they're hand quilted.
They do, and they drape beautifully. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different thing. All the stiffness comes out of them. And because you've held them so long as well and worked them while you're hand quilting them, they're just they're so much more soft and fluid.
Now, what type of batting do you like to use with your quilts?
I always use 100% cotton batting. Every now and then I want a warmer one and I use wool, but, you know, we live in Australia, so you don't really need your quilts to be that warm down here. I use 100% cotton, and I actually use an Australian brand, which I know is available over there. It's called Matilda's Own.
Okay, I've heard of that.
Yeah, it's really lovely, and it's quite fine. It has an antique drape. It's not puffy at all. It's very flat.
So, yeah, so it's a thin batting?
Yeah.
Thinner batting? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thin batting, and it's got a scrim on it, so it doesn't, you know, pull through when you quilt and all that kind of thing.
Well, you know, I do. I want to try what you're doing. You know, I'm not a good hand. I'm not a big hand quilter, but I do want to try it. Now, you don't do tiny, teeny stitches like the people with the little thin thread.
No, I don't. You can't really get them that tiny with pearl cotton, where it just all bunches up. You can get about 4 stitches to the inch.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people assume that when you're quilting with thicker thread, you have to take great big, you know, like quarter inch long stitches, and that's not the case at all.
Mm-hmm.
So my stitches are, I don't know, maybe about 1/8 of an inch long. But when you're quilting with pearl cotton, you need to make them a little bit more close together than you do when you're Amish quilting. So your stitch is longer, but the gap in between is shorter.
So
at the back of my quilts, there's just a little teeny tiny stitch. They're not the same length, the top and bottom.
Okay.
Okay. Or else it's very difficult to get them, you know, to look balanced because they are so much longer. You have a great big gap on the front if they're the same length front and back. So yeah, it takes a little bit of fiddle to get it right, but
yeah. And you're not, and you're rocking the stitch too. You're not stab stitching.
No, I rock the needle. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Cool. Now your website, I didn't tell people yet, was sarahfilke.com, and her last name is F-I-E-L-K-E. And you have some nice little slideshows on your front page.
I do. There's some fun little slideshows, and there's a little flip book that my husband put together all about the new fabric range, which has the story of, you know, what it's all about and all the different prints and all that kind of thing. And there will be, I think it's up, it may be up tomorrow. If it's not up on my site, it's on the Leesian website, the free pattern from Mice and Ives Fabric.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, which is fun, cool. So people can download that.
Yeah.
And there's also my patterns and books for sale
right.
on the website too.
And you ship from Australia to the US, so if someone wanted you to sign a book.
Yes, that's right. The shipping is a little scary on the books from Australia.
yeah.
It's a long way and the books are heavy. You know, I write hefty books. So, but if they did want one signed, I happily ship.
Yeah. And you travel, though, now. You are going out of Australia.
Yes, that's right. I haven't taught quite so much in the US yet. I have a few dates next year and the year after. And I teach in Europe a lot as well.
Yeah. Cool. Now, I have one question before we end up because, you know, you mentioned your husband, Darian, and I've met him, and he works with you. He works at home as well as you work at home. You know, what is it like to have both of you working your own businesses at home plus raising your family? I mean, this is all happening in one spot.
Yeah, it is.
How do you manage?
Pretty busy around our house. Damien's recently gone back to work a couple of days a week, but you know, a lot of the days of the week he's still here, and for the last 2.5 years he's been at home full time. So we're lucky; we get along very well.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, he's a nice guy. I've met him.
He is, and he does do a lot of work for me as well as you know, the other work that he does. So it's actually great having him around. He is able to, you know, do things on the website for me if I need something done, and you know, we just get along really well. And it's nice because he's home to pick the boys up from school with me and those sorts of things. It's nice. It's busy, but it's fun.
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing is when you're home, your work and your family life, everything does blend a bit, doesn't it?
And it can be a little bit difficult to turn it off at night sometimes. But we've had to make some very strict rules about, you know, once everyone gets home from school, the work goes away and then perhaps sometimes when they go back to bed, we, you know, go to bed at night, we have to go back and do some more work. But it's, you know, all gets a bit much if we're both trying to work and the boys have come home and then you can't spend proper time with them and all those things. So, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've talked to several other couples. Amy Butler, when she was on, said the same thing. You know, she and her husband have the time that you stop work for the day.
Yes. Yeah, it's really important, I think, because otherwise it can just roll on forever. Yeah,
forever.
You know, right. Constantly emailing and it you know, it becomes quite intrusive to your life. So.
Well, Sarah, this has been absolutely fabulous. I appreciate you being on the show and sharing your book and your fabrics and your quilting.
Thanks so much for having me, Pat. It's been great fun.
Yeah. So, everybody, I want you to come back next week where we'll have a new show here at American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.